ago. Singing along with Shades from the Voyager album that we did a few years ago. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. In the dark today because of Verizon. They are too stupid to be able to keep their internet connection going, and we're completely been down all day. And I'll give you the information so you can personally call them for me and complain, because this is an outrage. I told them I needed to do the show live and on the air, and they, of course, don't listen. And this would be, of course, May 13th. And we have a couple of sidekicks kicking each other. We've got Steve Barry's kicking Buddy Boo, and Buddy Boo kicking along with Steve Barrett. So what's going on, Steve? You'll have to get all the phone numbers out tonight, because I have no internet access, and I don't have the BBS phone numbers.
Okay, not a problem.
I'm going to call in, you know. It's unfortunate, because, well, at least it's on the internet, you know. They can listen to it, but no video. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, the phone number is 1-800-729-2603, 1-949-499-2603.
That's my number.
Pardon?
That's my phone number for my company.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
so anyway, what you been up to?
I've been doing a lot of work on energy, so there's a lot going on and a lot that I'm receiving. The energy that I'm receiving, Fred, is love, total love, and it's really, really incredible. It's a lot of fun, and it's something that people should really, really get in touch with, because now the energy's coming through pretty clear, and the love is just really, really incredible. So it's a lot of fun to do that. And if they just tune into it, if they just meditate, they'll pick up on that energy very, very clearly. It won't be negative. It'll be just absolutely positive love. So it would be really, really good to do. That's what
he really likes what you're saying. He believes in pure love, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's what's going on for me. And I really, really love it. And there's tremendous energy coming in. And also, Death of Ignorance. I got to tell you, I've been reading that book. When I was going to college, when I was going to massage school, we had to study a book. I can't necessarily say the book on the radio, but The Death of Ignorance has a tremendous amount more scientific study than the book that I read for college. And I think if people would buy that, they would see things in the book that are just tremendous in terms of learning about the body and everything else that you have in this book. It's just absolutely incredible. So I just got to plug that because I'm starting to read a lot about the cells and a lot about mitochondria and the things that you talk about in the mitochondria. And one thing I think they're going to find out eventually is that consciousness actually comes to the blood and goes through the body, through the spine, and everything is connected together. So I believe that the cerebral spinal fluid is actually in every muscle of the body. And that's what I'm getting from your book, that it's equating that there's a lot going on more than what we can actually find out. And your book is really on target there. So it's absolutely a great book.
Yeah.
Absolutely a fine book.
If you look at how the spine works in the book, the cerebral spinal fluid acts like charged plates going up a cathode ray tube neck.
Right.
So then the base of the spine acts like a grid, actually a cathode, and it sends a signal up which gets amplified along the spinal cord and turns, as it comes up to the base of the brain, the signal goes into a radiation pattern.
Right.
And that radiation pattern then spreads out through the brain.
Right.
The brain takes that radiation pattern and converts it into an image.
Right.
That's
right.
How we're able to see and hear, and that explains all that in there. And it was really interesting because I wrote that book in 79, and I was about 83 or 84. I got a phone call from Switzerland or Denmark. And
right.
A guy called me up, and he just won the Nobel Peace Prize for something in science.
Wow.
And he said, he told me that had he not had that book and not read that section that I'm talking about, plus the section on oxygen, he would have not had the ability to win that Peace Prize.
Right, right.
I thought
right.
That was really cool. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, because, he was like a medical doctor, physicist kind of guy, sort of like
right.
Me. I'm not a medical doctor, I'm just a homeless.
Right.
He's a full on MD. And he was in Europe. He was in Denmark or one of those countries over there near where they issued the prize, but he said that he'd worked on a project on the body and involving hemoglobin and electromagnetism and all of that.
Right.
Gotten stuck.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't going forward, but he read that book, and after he read that book, he said he was unstuck because it opened up a lot of avenues for exploration, which obviously, when he went down one of those avenues, he
right
or something that made the Nobel Peace Prize happen. So
right,
that was kind
right.
of a cool thing to come out of that book. I've never been eligible for anything like that, but it's nice to have people call you up and say, you sure helped out for me to get one, you know?
Yeah, there's no question about it, Fred. There's so much information in that book. I'm just getting into it really, really heavily, and it's very, very interesting. I think people should really enjoy that. Anybody that's going through medical school or massage school, I think it would be fantastic for them to have that book. It's just, it's loaded with information, much more than the book that I had to read for college for school. So,
yeah. When I went to school and I was doing junior high,
right,
reading those books, and at the same time I was going to night school at the University of Michigan. I was
right.
Two semesters that way in U of M, and I really found the high school books quite boring.
Yeah, yeah.
University of Michigan books, some of them are a little bit over my head, but I went to night classes, and then I'd ask the professors, and sometimes the students would help me out. And then when I went back to high school, I ended up teaching science.
Wow.
I learned enough from the University of Michigan on science projects that I didn't need to. I learned chemistry, and I learned, you know, basic anatomy and all that kind of stuff, which they teach there. And I went every night. I mean, I was a five nights a week kind of guy. And then on weekends, I played around over there in the labs, you know, because in the labs at night were sometimes closed, but during the weekends, they were open, so we got to play in the laboratories.
Right.
So I'm in there, this little old high school, brownie little junior high guy in there with all these, you know, advanced med students and physicists.
Right.
Kind of fun, and aeronautical engineers and all kinds of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I worked some of the stuff in the med school. I was around a lot of cadavers and stuff because we were dissecting humans, you know, for studies.
Right.
And I watched all that, but you know, I had the stomach for it because I was looking at it as a scientific on a scientific level. I don't really think I'd want to do it today, but I learned because that's what they have to do in med school, you know. And the med school and the physics lab the physics lab was right out front. It was Randolph Lab.
Wow.
Tore that down, and then
five or seven
levels underground with all the synchrotrons and cyclotrons. And then we had the East Engineering and the West Engineering building, and on the East Engineering building, next hooked to that was the medical school. So it was cool. And then the avionics and the aircraft and all that was on the West Engineering building. And
right.
We had the big library out front on the main boulevard out there.
Yeah, let me give out the phone number.
I literally lived there for several years.
Yeah, wow. If you want to call in internationally or even in the United States, you can use 1-888-815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756. And they have many phones there so you can get through and listen to us and also talk to us. Thank you.
Yes, I hear a lot of World War II aircraft flying over. There must be an air show coming to town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could hear them. They're gone now, but I saw it earlier, a two-engine, looks like a, I think it was a two-engine bomber.
Maybe a B-17?
A missile, you know, a B-26. B-26,
over.
Those are kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. And I saw a B-17 last year at a show here.
Yeah,
and, I've never seen a B-25. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's what, flew to Japan. He carried on Mitchell. Wasn't it Mitchell that did that?
You're talking about the bomb that carried for Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
No, that was the B-29. That was...
Was that B-29?
Yeah, that was flown by, what's his name? That was Enola Gay.
Yeah.
Now, there's another... Doolittle, I think it was. They took some missile B-25s and they put them on an aircraft carrier and sailed in right after we got hit with Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
Sailed down to within a few hundred miles of, I think, 600 miles of Japan. And they launched them off the aircraft carrier 600 miles out because they had to get that aircraft carrier around or the Japs would come after them.
Yeah.
So they bombed Tokyo. But
wow.
Every one of those planes, then they had to turn to land in China because they only had 1,200 miles worth of fuel and they had a headwind. A 200-mile-an-hour headwind going in, so that cut their fuel short about 10%.
Yeah.
So they had to crash land all over China.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing run.
Yeah, Doolittle Raid. I remember that. Oh, I don't remember it, but I remember seeing
it. You were there, right? We were there.
Well, I was born in 42. I think Doolittle Raid was in 41, I think.
Yeah, it was late 41.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, I guess you didn't actually direct that raid.
No. He was quite a guy, though. They wanted to get over there. They tested those planes for a long time to make that run because it was a short runway, and they're filled with bombs. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, so anyway, I've got some people interested in flamethrowers now.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about
those. Those flamethrowers are absolutely incredible. I know I have one in my bedroom that's made of that has white stones in it, and I've got things happening in that room that's never happened before. So the energy is exquisite in there, and it's absolutely pure, and it's absolutely clean in that room. And so when you walk in there, it's like being on a different planet, honest to goodness. it's just so absolutely beautiful in there. And I've had people coming in and out. I've had, you know what happened at work with the black one. You know, it was a flying saucer on the other side of the room behind the flamethrower, and that disappeared and dissipated. But there's so much to these flamethrowers. I know that when I use it at work, it takes all the negativity from people that I... hello?
Yes, hello. I'm just calling in.
Hi.
Who's that?
Yes. My name is John. May I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead, John. Where are you calling?
Yes, hi. Dr. Bell, I want to thank you for all the good work you do. What I particularly appreciate is the way you integrate various different disciplines, like physics and biology and chemistry and so forth. That's quite a good work you're doing there. I was just wondering, in what area is you have so many different areas that you're writing about. What area is your doctor?
Oh, it's in homeopathic preventive medicine.
Oh, okay.
It's a German degree from the Bernardine University. That's what I ended up
wonderful.
PhD in. But, I mean, I got a master's degree from the United States Armed Forces Institute back when I was younger. And that was in general applied physics and electronics, you know, as as applied to military, you know, obviously military use. But,
right.
You know, I already was repairing TV sets before that. So on the civilian side, we never had a problem, you know.
Okay.
Where are you located?
In California. Northern California, San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, we were just up there. Did you come and listen to my lecture?
Oh, at the expo, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I missed it, but I'm going to watch it on, I've got a recording of it. I'm going to look forward to watching it.
Well, did they record me on the video or something on that one?
I think so. I think they put it on a DVD.
Okay, then I need to get that because I didn't know. I'm glad you brought that up. I need to get that and offer it to our clients, you know.
Yeah, I think what they do is they're offering a DVD of the whole weekend or something like that.
Yeah, but did they actually, I don't remember if there was a camera on me. I was out there for almost 2 hours. Do you know if
I don't know. I'll have to check on that. I can check on that and email you if you like. I hope so, because I'm looking forward to seeing it. I have a friend that went too, so perhaps I can get some information. Yeah.
They might have audio recorded it. I don't know.
Maybe that's what they did. Okay,
yeah,
that's very good.
So what kind of things do you do?
Oh, I'm just I study mathematics mainly.
Where do you study math at?
Well, actually, I'm sort of retired now. I used to teach mathematics, but I study now metaphysics and mathematics and things like that. So,
yeah, what areas of math did you work in? Like calculus?
Statistics.
Okay, so that requires a little bit of use of physics, you know.
Yeah, the applications. Yeah, okay.
I
was just curious about your degree because you didn't put it on some of your later work, so I was kind of wondering. Normally, you know, in a biography, people mention that. But
I always tell people the School of Hard Knocks, you know, because I worked on that many programs in so many universities all over the world, you know. But you don't really get a scholastic credit for it. You end up getting knowledge and I don't know whatever kind of credit they give you, but it's something, you know.
Yeah, the type of research you're doing, you have to go outside the mainstream anyway.
Yeah, were you teaching in a school?
Yeah, at a college, just a community college.
Cool.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I want to thank you very much, and I'll listen.
Do you use a lot of the Paradigm things that we make?
Well, I just started getting into your work now, so I'm exploring it. Is there anything you'd recommend? What would be a good place to start in terms of the devices?
Well, start with a receptor, but education-wise, you probably want to get the Rays of Truth Crystals of Light book. Have you got that one yet?
Okay, I've got that ordered, yeah. I'm gonna
get
that one.
And then you want to get the Death of Ignorance and then the new book. And then
what is the new book called?
Oh, The Inside Track. We had it.
Okay, how do I get that? I looked on your website and didn't see where I'm getting it.
It's there. Just to order it. Just call this. Let me give you an 800 number. It's 800.
Okay.
729-2603, and that covers the military, civilian military aspect and the CIA aspect of all the cool inventions and dirty tricks they've pulled since the last 50 years. I also have the history of physics in there, and I give a basic physics course on string theory and cosmology through other people, and then I explain how they're manipulating our populace now, and how to stop that. You know, we have ways of blocking their fields and stuff, and.
Yeah,
because I was actually one of the co-creators of some of the things that I'm now blocking back when I was working for the military and when I worked for several different civilian companies. So,
right. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that this afternoon. Might be interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I started at the University of Michigan with Stephen Eberbaugh, you know, he was a well-known family there in Ann Arbor, and we developed... A neural-stimulating device in 1958, transistorized.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And nobody had anything like that till the 80s. And so, of course, the government had to have one of those, and that's kind of got a lot of those guys at MK Ultra going, you know, on another level.
Mm-hmm.
And like Delgado, for example, Jose Delgado. And then, of course, they got into going from the direct contact neurostimulators that we have to the direct contact neurostimulators that they had, they got into remote controlling it. And then they went to a period of satellites, and then they went to a period they actually went from implants to satellites where they're at now. That was when the STS 38 on the Atlantis back in 1991 when they launched the MISTI satellite series, which is now called Kehoe or KH-11-12 series. So that's all in that later book. But the other books are necessary to have, to understand what I write about in the later book, because I do some physics are in that last book, but very light stuff, you know, just basic...
Right.
What is a Lorentz transform? What is Planck's constant? Those kinds of things, you know, so that people can understand the tiniest thing possible in physics is a Planck length, and this is how you get to that, and this is what it is. And below that, we have cosmic foam, which is a big bang about to happen in some other parallel universe. And I wrote about that recently, quite a while ago. Michio Kaku has been in the show, on this very show we're on now. But the nice thing is we were writing about that before anything happened. And guess what? My internet just came back on. So now I will broadcast live over on Ustream. So anyway, that's kind of how... You know what I do, and now we're working on what's QBAM technology, which is all about biological administrating machine, and that's what we're trying to get the funds together now to build our first unit. We've got prototype pieces already done, so we're just ready to make the whole unit now. So, you know, we're moving forward, and we somehow or other have been, you know, ahead of the whole game for quite a while.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll listen over the internet.
Okay, great. I'm glad you called in, and get a hold of my people down here and get some of this material shipped up to you.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Steve, my internet came on after being
off. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to... go ahead and broadcast here.
Great.
Thing up and running here. Which now they can see me. You got your computer on? I don't know if Don knows.
Yeah, I got my computer on. I can't see anything, Fred.
Well, you will in a minute.
Okay. Can I continue on the flamethrower?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Put my receptor on here.
Right. I have some interesting things happening with the one at work. I take it off the ceiling, actually off the wall, and you can aim the center of the flamethrower to the right foot, goes up the right foot, up out of the head, comes back down to the left side. And people are being cleared with that, and they love it. I mean, they actually feel that. Then you can take it and put it right in the center between both feet, and it'll go up both feet. So it's really wild. I mean, it's there's a lot of stuff to do with it, and it will take the negativity out of the room. And that's the best one of the best parts about it. Also, it will take the negativity out of you. If people start seeing black, don't be afraid of that, because that's just the stuff coming out of your body and is being pulled from the flamethrower. So it's really incredible what you can do with that, Fred.
Yeah, and then plus when you use all four of them.
There you go. You're on.
All the satellite stuff that comes in.
Uh-huh.
It's a much stronger effect. But I like it. You've explored the healing aspect of it, you know, which
yes.
is really good.
Yes. Really incredible.
This is kind of interesting what happened to the internet today.
Well, I see you very plainly here.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
After being down for a whole day, it's kind of interesting. You're able to get it. Are you watching off the BBS site or not?
I'm watching off the BBS site, right.
Okay, good. So he's got that up and running. That's good.
Now, also, it just switched over to Ustream. You're on Ustream. That's what it's telling me.
Yeah, I'm on both. But the primary broadcast is on Ustream. You need to get set up so we can do a simulcast together where everybody can see you. And
I would love to do that, Fred. I'm going to have a friend of mine in here, I think, next week when we do the show, and we'll simulcast it.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot to get that going, you know.
Right, right. That is such a beautiful bird.
Yeah, that's Buddy Boo here. I was going to bring Bella down tonight, but I didn't think the video was going to be on. So, yeah, but Buddy, what did you say, honey? He understands English. He hasn't quite learned to speak it real clear yet.
Well, you know what was interesting was that he was keeping time with the music. And when he was burp, he was keeping time with the music.
Oh, yeah, he does that real good. He's got his own following over on Ustream. Yeah, when I'm recording in the studio here, playing in the studio, he is on it.
Yeah.
He's literally on it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he's talking up a storm. Yeah, I've got some clients that are probably going to be buying some. Explain to them about the alignment. Some people are real interested in our standalone projectors. And if you could explain to
them. Yeah, the standalone projectors, I've used the standalone projectors. I've got four of them. And in the center of my room, with all four projectors up, there's a ball of light that comes in. You can actually see it, or I can see it. And that clears everything out of the room and actually balances you and centers you. So as I'm using that energy to work on people, it's really fantastic because what happens is that the more that I work with people, the more centered and their brain opens up tremendously. The energies that comes off the table are just absolutely incredible. In other words, if I'm watching my client, I watch over the table, under the table, the chakras, the blood, the cells, everything, and I owe a lot to the projectors because the projectors help me tremendously to balance even more. So it's a lot of fun to use. The projectors are just a fantastic gain for me. They're a lot of fun to use, Fred. They really are. But the best thing about them is that I've made contact with the Andromedans through that. We talked about that after the second day that I had had the projectors up. So that was fabulous, and they came through as white, you know, just pure white light, as you saw. I think you were showing us on the radio. I think about 3-4 months ago, this Andromeda standing in a field, a cornfield.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and, it's in an avocado grove. Yeah,
yeah.
I have that picture here if anybody wants to email me and get a copy of it.
Yeah, and that's what I see in my room.
And you'll have a copy of that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I see in my room. Same kind of level of energy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I've done, but whatever it is, they've stayed with me for a long time. So it's really a lot of fun to use. And that's the way they work. I can see actually light coming off the small pyramids. There's a lot to do with them, Fred. Tremendous amount to do with those. We haven't even figured out a third of what these things can do yet.
Oh, I know. Now, did you start off with four, or did you start off with one?
No, I started out with four, Fred.
Okay. Well,
I was told to get four, and that's what I did.
Yeah. I know. I've told people that you'll help them align them with, if they get four. With
That's easy to do. We've aligned a lot of people. If they want to give me a call, I can. My number is 585-746-8321. If you need help with the projectors, I'm more than happy to do that for you. So it's really fun to have, and if you want to start out with one, that's fine. If you want to start out with four, that's fine. I move along with energy pretty good, so that's how I got started. They told me to get four, and the first day I had them up, the Andromedas were in my room for 3 hours, 4 hours, and they were helping me with my clients. So it's really fabulous. And then the second day, I was taken to Andromeda. So there's a lot that can happen with these things if you just believe in yourself. Just believe in your heart, believe in who you are, and these things work. It's just absolutely incredible, Fred. Just wonderful.
That's amazing
thing.
How technology crosses spirituality, you know, with these kinds of inventions. But the bottom line, from my standpoint, is that we wouldn't need projectors and all this stuff had the military and the governments of the world not, you know, created all this crap, plus the ELF that's produced just as a side effect of all the telephones and cell phones and television transmitters and satellite transmitters for civilian purposes. If we didn't have all that, you know, if we were back a couple hundred years, we could probably put a stick on, you know, for an amulet like some basic tribes would have had, and that would have worked just fine, you know.
Yep.
High-tech stuff now.
Well, I think the idea of the projectors is not only to focus on yourself, but actually help the world. And that's really, really important. Once we open up our minds, we open up to the universe, and there's nothing that we can't do, Fred.
Oh,
I really, truly believe that.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's just absolutely fabulous that you've made these projectors, given you, and so we all get a chance to use them and play with them.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing part. And the best thing to do is to phone Fred and tell him what you're learning about the projectors, because there's so much. Everybody has a soul. Everybody is connected together, but we're all a little bit different. So anything that happens, please call him and let him know, because we really need to know that to experiment with it even more. So that would be really great to do.
What really is funny is, you know, we got our patent, our patent issued on the projector series.
Yeah.
That was on March 18th or something. I have to go in the other room and look at the thing that's on the wall. But we wanted to call it the projector, because that's what we call it. And the patent office lady says, no, you can't call it that. We won't approve this patent if you make it call it the projector. I says, well, that's a little funny. A person can't name their own invention. And the lady says, yeah, but we can't accept that name. You can name it anything you want, but it doesn't mean we're going to accept it. So I said, well, what do you want to call it? And she said, we want to call it the white light generator, I think is what she called it. Well, okay, that's fine. You know, I didn't argue with that. Because if we had an argument and a dispute with them, it would cost me another $1,000 for the attorney and everything to do that. Because every time the patent office calls up with a problem, it's $600, you know. You know, the patents aren't cheap, because if you don't have the money to spend, you ain't going to get one. And so anyway, I had to have this patent on this.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line was, I said, I actually like her name better than mine. I like the white light generator. And if you look up the patent, you know, it's, which I put out the number, I don't have it here, but it's in our literature. you'll find that that's what it's called. And there's a reason, I guess the lady got high off the drawings is the only thing I could think of. The patent was a lady that we dealt with, the patent, you know, the patent office. Isn't that funny, though? They gave it a better name than we could have based on what it really does. And I didn't claim that it was doing anything. You know, I had a design patent that explains this is what goes here and this goes here and this is what it looks like. But you make a brief statement of what it does. It's a meditation device or some damn thing we wrote down there. But we sure as hell didn't call it a light generator. And they patented it as a light generator. Okay, fine. I'm not going to argue with that. That's worth another $10,000 in attorney not to have to pay. So it was pretty interesting.
Right.
Is he
picking at your ear?
Yeah, he's going to come over there and look in this camera a little bit. He's looking at the camera. Oh, there,
hey, buddy.
How's that for a view?
Hi, buddy.
Here, buddy boo. There he is. There is buddy.
He's beautiful.
Boo. Yeah. He's a pretty bird. And Bella Boo is just...
The colors are
Bella
magnificent.
For a while, now she's got... she took her antibiotics. Got a beautiful shiny coat just like he does. She was looking a little rough there for a while, like she'd been in a bar fight. She had a bacterial infection in her GI tract for several months. But now she's fine. She's doing really well. Buddy Boo is really doing well. No, can't come on the computer. Yeah. No. Can't you just look at yourself a little bit? There he is. It's hard to get him to look at himself on the screen here. Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
He's just full of energy today.
His colors are just so magnificent.
Yeah, you can see him a lot better now.
Hey, buddy Boo.
Hey, buddy Boo. Yeah, look at it. It's got a beautiful
tail.
He's
looking right at you.
Yeah, look at the tail. Well, you can't see the color.
Beautiful. Look at that purple tail. Wow.
Yeah, purple with a yellow spot on the end of it. There's the yellow spot. Look at that.
Oh, yellow, yeah.
He's got a lot of colors, and underneath, he's really pretty.
Yeah.
You can't climb on it. He just wants to climb on it.
Yeah.
And there's blue right there. It's blue. And that yellow beak, when he hides under the counters at night, it's dark in the living room, the yellow beak shot, you know, gives it's a dead giveaway. Mm-hmm. There's that beak. Oh, he sees himself now.
Right.
Yeah, he's seeing himself now, finally. You can't beat a good bird. And if you really want to watch our American bird, go to Catalina Two Harbors Cam on Ustream, or just type it in on the internet, Catalina Two Harbors Eagle Cam, and you will see, I'm donating to that project, you will see two baby eagles growing up. And I've been watching them since they were just eggs, and they're about ready to get their flight lessons now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. Birds are fascinating. Right. They teach you a lot. I've got one bird. My African Grey speaks perfect English and communicates perfectly. Talks to me all the time. Or anybody else.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They talk. You ask them how they're doing, they'll say fine or not so good. And they get hungry. They want a cracker and they want his particular type. I want cheese or, you know, whatever they want. He knows what cheese is.
Yeah.
Cheese? What's a cheese? Yeah. He knows what that is. He's a good bird. His birthday's on the 23rd. Of May. I think he'll be three. I don't think he'll be two or three. I forget when I bought him, you know. Got him at Momar's. I think he was just a year. I think he'll be two in, but I'm not sure. I got to go back and look at my records and see when I got him. He's either two or three now. Aren't you, Boo?
Yeah.
He's actually brighter. His colors are actually brighter than what than this camera picks up. He's a good bird.
Yeah.
Nice bird. You're watching climb back.
Show your necklace, Fred, the necklace you want to sell.
Oh, yeah. That one right there.
Let's take a look at that.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
I get it up a little closer. Yeah, I'm ready for one of the newer ones. That's why I'm offering to give a hell of a discount on it. It'd be about half what they would. If you ordered one of these right here, you'd be paying about... Oh, with that diamond and everything in there, about $22,000. I'm looking to get around $12,000 for this one. And this solid gold, solid platinum with high-quality white diamonds. I just got two or three carats of diamonds on the bridge and then a 1.25 carat yellow canary natural diamond in the in the center. The diamond alone in the center is worth $10,000.
Yeah.
I bought it back a while ago. The four diamonds went up. I've had this for about a decade or so. And for it to go to the right person. How about you? You sold yours yet?
Yeah. No, I'm going to put it in the Times. It's the same thing you have, but mine's a white diamond.
Yeah.
And so I want to sell mine so I can get a new necklace, too. So that's important to do. And I'll sell it for the same thing you're selling yours for.
That 12 grand is a good price.
You know?
They want a white one, they can get it from you. And
yeah.
When are you going to get one of the new ones in platinum?
No, I think platinum's a little bit too expensive, but I'll get 18 karat gold for sure.
Yeah, platinum, I didn't check
I'll
it
probably
on
get
internet.
A platinum.
It's getting up there again. It goes from, this is the wrong time of year to platinum.
Yeah.
I've got one here that a client never picked up that I'd have to reimburse the client for, but it still would cost more than this one. I'm looking up platinum prices right now.
You looked on platinum
well,
now?
Well, I'll tell you what, we didn't have the internet most of the day, and it's weird not having it. When we first moved in out here, platinum is $1,735 an ounce right now. That's quite a bit.
Wow, that went up.
Yeah, well, it's going to go up to $2,500 again. And gold's at $1,236.
Yeah.
Silver is almost at $20.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Silver is at $20.
Wow.
1948, to be exact.
Yeah.
And if you want to get the best updates, go to Monex, MONEX.com. And they're on Newport Beach.
Okay.
I never buy from them because they won't take cash. Okay, that sucks. They only take check or credit card. Guess what? If it's a check or credit card and you buy gold from a gold broker, you got a track record. The federal government makes it illegal to own it, and they'll come and take it away from you. You get nothing out of it. You know, some price they'll come up with, maybe $10 an ounce. And they've done that before. So be careful.
Have they?
Oh, yeah. They did it back in the 30s. It was illegal to own. The only thing you could do is pneumatic planning, which is coins. You could own legally gold coins. I have a lot of gold coins I put away over the years, too. But I didn't buy them to sell them. I bought them just to have them, you know. And right now is the wrong time to buy gold.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. This receptor right now, and these prices that I'm wearing will be about $28,000 to be exact at $1,236.
Yeah.
I made this one, I think gold was around $500. And platinum was about $850 when I made this one. There's an ounce of almost a half an ounce or two-thirds of an ounce of platinum just in the bridge. And then, you know, when they cast platinum, it costs $1,000. It's a $1,000 casting fee. Because they have to use palladium with it.
Really?
Yeah. Palladium right now is at $540 an ounce. And anytime they cast platinum, they have to mix it with palladium. It's interesting. I thought you just melted it like gold, but no, it won't work. It won't do what it's supposed to do. It'll crack and get weird. They have to have a palladium in there.
That'll burn off, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it burns off. You lose the palladium. But it costs them, I don't know, there's a half... quarter of an ounce of, I don't know what the ratio is. There's a certain amount of ounce of palladium versus so much of platinum to get what you want. That's why it's such a healing material, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you, the platinum necklace that I have, it's just absolutely incredible, Fred. The energy in it is, wow. It's just incredible.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I'm looking at my stat pop-up, and Ustream has made such a change. First of all, it's unreliable as heck. I mean, when I watched this Eagle's Nest, I used to watch it through Ustream, but it kept crashing all the time, so I had to go on a direct internet connection to find out about it. Because the American Eagle is our bird, you know. It's just very... You harm an American Eagle, you'll go to jail just like you do if you harm a person. Only you'll get twice the time, which is good.
Absolutely.
Because it's a protected
species.
And watching these two eagles, the male and the female, raise these two kids, it's just amazing. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. So I want to get involved with with that project over on Catalina Island. I'm going to contact the company and maybe sponsor a eagle for a mating season. It's a 4 month. You know, they eggs hatch out in March and the birds fly away in June. So, and it's $25 a day to sponsor it. So I want to sponsor some of that. I actually like to go out to the nest, but they aren't going to let you know where it is, let alone approach it, because you absolutely, I guess they approach the nest when it's abandoned, you know, when the birds leave it, but they always come back to the same nesting place.
I know that in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, we have the same thing. We have nesting birds there, and every year their young hatch, and they teach them how to swim. Teach them how to fish, and the
stream
is right there. It's really beautiful to watch them.
Yeah.
People gather around here, and they actually watch the birds teach them how to fly and teach them how to fish. It's really incredible to see. And they're big.
Oh, the eagles
their
are very big. They're
really spread open.
Yeah, we got them out here where I live. We have we have big hawks, which are two-thirds the size of eagles.
Yeah.
And when their wingspread is probably 5 feet. Eagles probably six.
That's big.
Oh, yeah.
I think more like eight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more like 8 feet.
8 feet?
How are you doing with your... Yeah.
With
yeah.
What?
How are you doing with your big project?
Oh, the QBAM? We're working on it. The problem we have is getting the damn thing funded. I've had four or five people promise me religiously they'd have money for me. But when it comes, you know, that's the thing about Pyridyne. You know, I have no partners, and I funded everything, you know, myself. I spent about $250,000 on the projectors, and that includes the patent, you know, to make a first one.
Mm-hmm.
But receptor costs. I had a little help on the receptor. A friend of mine kicked some money in on that, but that was probably, first one was probably $150,000. That was back, of course, in 81, where money was cheaper, you know. And then developing these other projects, over the years, I've probably spent, looking back, $15 million of my own money. $15 million. And that's a conservative figure. Now, when I write a book, for example, $250,000 to write a book, by the time you get it, time lost, editing, printing cost, you know, because we do a very fine quality, you got $250,000 tied up in research, and people don't realize that. You know, my lifestyle hasn't really changed much over the years, and I've had this company a little bit, but not much. And I'm looking around. I got this QBAM, and I'm asking for $175,000, okay, to put two machines on the market, and the investor would get their money back in a free machine or a stock in the company. And these people just flake out.
Right.
They absolutely flake out. It's amazing. You know, will I come up with $175,000 to do this? No. You know why? Because I drew the line years ago on the X1, which is the QBAM machine. If I'm going to bring this thing out to the world and what it can do, I expect the world to show some upfront forethought rather than afterthought. And so far, I have talked to mega millionaires that are probably dead in the next 4 or 5 years because of their health problems, that the QBAM machine would probably give them another 10 or 15 years because it would allow their bodies to heal itself, and they won't come up with 10 cents.
Right.
And some of these guys, help them, you know, because I did shit, you know, do stuff on the side, like I do business deals on the side. I've made some of them the millionaires that they are. And you'd think that they would be able to.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's more than six that I can name. And you would think that having helped these people either become multimillionaires because they were millionaires or become millionaires because they weren't anything, that they would reciprocate with $175,000, and it's become a principle of spirit now with me. It's not about the money anymore. It's about who comes for it. And the ones that didn't, that were offered a chance, they're going to be the last on the list to get to try it out, and they're going to be the first on the list to need it.
Right.
because I'm familiar pretty much with all the healing machines that are out there. There's about 20 or 30 of them that do stuff. Most of them work on right frequencies, okay, which to me are obsolete.
Right.
Ours does not. Ours uses Rife with one. I have two different versions of mine. One where I use the StarTech unit, where the Rife equipment, you know, is very used for diagnostics, not for treatment, because we've developed our own treatment techniques, which use frequencies that nobody knows about, because people don't know what SPDC is, which was a spontaneous a parametric down conversion based on crystal energy. And people know that when they shoot a laser into a crystal, something happens, but it's not controlled. We have it controlled. We have it dialed in for the frequencies of the central nervous system and the hydrogen atom to exactly apply to a person that has a problem so that that person can heal themselves instantaneously. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. That's where we're at with this technology and science. But am I going to produce one on my own money? No. I will just not do it. Because, you know, people won't appreciate it. So somebody, somewhere will come forward, and that will tell me that the world is ready, and we'll finish one, we'll have one out on the market in 90 days, you know. But it ain't coming out until I see something from someone else. It's that simple. You know, you got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
And Buddy Boo just agreed. He just, you know, yeah, he said that's the way it is, Dr. Bell. there he goes again. Right, Buddy Boo?
Yeah,
he's growling. He's growling. He knows that Dad's mad right now. At people that should be ashamed of themselves for behaving that way. It's amazing. I'll never forget the first multimillionaire I ever made. Well, I had a company called Scopes Unlimited. And, he knows. And a friend of mine in San Diego was a retired Navy chief. His name was Bill. I'll say his first name only. He was an old Navy chief. I was a young guy starting Scopes Unlimited. I was probably like 27.
Mm-hmm.
And he became my first big San Diego rep, and he sold to the Navy. And he became a multimillionaire with his company, representing our products back in, God, when was that, 1971, somewhere in there. First guy ever made him a millionaire, and then after that, and he appreciated it. He reciprocated. He was a great, great friend. But after that, I'd get involved with people. I helped start five multi-level companies, and every one of them made a ton of money. Five of them, but I never was really an owner because I just came along and set the things up. And one of them sold for $500 million recently. Okay. That I started in Laguna Beach in my house, in the neighbor's house, called Isogenics. So anyway, I've been around the block with wealth and money, but I just do from my heart what I believe is done. And this X1 is a very, two-band machine is very important. But so far I've seen nothing but flakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Paradigm is doing fine. I mean, it slows down this, you know, the first part of the year. It's picking up again now, but Paradigm is what it is. You know, it's nice products that typically sell in the $500 to $5,000 range and do what they're supposed to do, and nobody complains, and that's what we do here. And even the FDA wants me to get an approval on the receptor, and I'm telling them that when I get the Q-band thing going, we're going to run the receptor through the colleges just like we do the Q-band machine. I've already got colleges lined up to do it, but until the big project comes along, the receptor won't get its medical approval, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to get off the air now. Huh?
Yeah.
That was a fun show tonight, wasn't it?
Yep.
I've got
it was a lot of fun.
I've got some new guests coming on. We're going to start bringing guests back aboard again here and shake the show out a little bit. I think it'll be kind of cool. What do you think?
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That'll be real cool.
So I was going to get the music going. Anyhow, give people that are interested in our products, Go ahead and give your phone number out again.
Yes, it's Steve Barish, and my phone number is 585-746-8321, and I'm more than happy to help anybody.
And my number is 1-800-729-2603, and the email address is fredbell@paradigm.com. And can't spell Paradigm, just type in Fred Bell to the search engine, and it'll take you there. You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, closing out May 11th, 2010. And Buddy Boo, of course, is a big essential part of the show. Right, Steve? We'll see you next week.
You bet.
All right. Talk to you in a bit.
Bye.